good Tuesday morning, Las Vegas. This is the LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk right here on 91.5 KUNV Las Vegas. I'm Ray Brewer alongside Taylor Byrne. And today, folks, we got a little treat for you. We're kind of in an odd schedule part. UNLV plays Monday night. Our dirty little secret, we tape the show on Mondays, so we can't exactly break down the Rebel game for you like we would every week. So this week, I know there's a lot of interest in the NFL, especially in Vegas, so we're going to start our show today by talking NFL right here on LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk. Usually, every Friday on LasVegasSun.com, Taylor, myself, and Case Kiefer, that was grammatically correct, we... drop myself right in the middle there. We usually release our top six NFL plays, and truth be told, I'm under 500. Taylor Byrne is hovering
around.
I think
I slipped back under 500 on this last week, but I briefly took the lead with a nice little run there. But
you were like what 11-1 over 2 weeks? I think
I was 11-0-1 over 2 weeks, and I was 15-2-1 over 3 weeks.
And in your personal life, you profited how much off that run?
Zero.
That a kid. So we solely support our picks here on LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk. But to
be fair to me, I haven't made a single NFL bet all year, and that's because we're in the Case and I are part of a team that's in the the Hilton LVH Super Contest, and I had kind of planned at the beginning of the year that would be like my fix necessarily, you know, because you put forth the money at the beginning with the buy-in, no guarantee that you're going to get anything back, and with 2 weeks left, it looks like we aren't going to finish in the money. But you know, we're above 500. We've kept it. We've only had really one terrible week. I think this week we ended up 2-3, which
it's likely
don't like,
cheaper but, than betting every week too, probably.
Yeah, I split between six people. It was like 250. Yeah. And, you know, I could definitely lose that over an NFL season, considering right. How hard NFL games are to bet.
I wish we had the audio from August when we first talked the NFL right here on LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk, because I looked at the NFC East, and I told Case, the Eagles are done.
You did
don't go near the Eagles. I got a small little under win total bet on the Eagles. And what do you know? Cowboys, Redskins, Giants, 8-6. Eagles, 4-10.
I wish
I'm daddy over
here. Hey, props. You got it right. Now I wish we just had audio from every time you've been wrong, too.
Listen, I'm wrong every morning.
It's easy to pick out the one, but, you know, congratulations.
I was right on that one.
And it's good that you actually get to profit off of being right for that one.
We have $30 in the plus.
Hey, there you go. Yeah.
See, here's my thing with the NFL, and this is just general sports in general. You know, I'm a huge baseball guy, huge Pittsburgh Pirates. We've got like a North American record 18 or 19 year losing streak where we finished, you know, 500 or worse the last 18 or 19 years. And it's just no fun because you see the Angels go out and get Josh Hamilton after they've gotten Albert Pujols. And whatever, yeah. And you see,
I'll just let that one.
You see the Yankees go and spend, and Red Sox previously spend, and the Tigers spend, and all these teams spend, and the Pirates can't do that. And there's no way they're ever going to win in this current setup with baseball.
A's didn't spend, and they won.
You're right, they did. They had a great little run. It takes the perfect storm to win, though. It wasn't like and what they do they made it to the American League Championship Series.
I don't even remember.
It takes a perfect storm to do that. In football, my point is that every year any given team has a chance to win. There's balance, there's parity. The Colts, they go from a one-win season and now they're on the verge of the playoffs.
Yeah, Colts fans are probably the luckiest group in the NFL. I would say, because they had Peyton Manning for so long, you know, one of the like two best quarterbacks of his time.
Of all time, arguably. Debatably.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then they only have to go through 1 year of being terrible. Like normally the drop off, it's like slower before you hit rock bottom. They went there immediately and then just got another franchise quarterback, and boom, now they're set again.
And it's not you take Luck out of that team, and it's not like they're, wow, they've got, you know, I don't even know
who. Look out for Vic Ballard.
Yeah, or is that their tailback now?
One of them.
Yeah, look out for Vic Ballard and.
Yeah, and they're still, even right now, they're not that great of a team. Like they
but they're in the playoffs. They should be in the playoffs.
I think they'll probably get there.
And that's, you know, I wish at least the Pirates, I could have one postseason where I could watch a game.
Yeah.
And that's what I think makes the NFL fun. And you look at the NFC East, you've got the three teams at 8-6. Well, if you win your league, you host a playoff game, you're halfway to the Super Bowl, anything could happen. Any given Sunday, any given team could win. San Diego 2 weeks ago goes to Pittsburgh and beats Pittsburgh. Then they go home Sunday, this past Sunday, they lose to Carolina by 28 points.
Yeah.
Right? The 49ers, they tie the Rams or lose to the Rams, maybe tie and lose. Then they go all the way to New England and they beat the Patriots. There's no method to the madness in the NFL. Handicapping if you're in Vegas or if you're just trying to figure out who's going to win, it's nearly impossible.
Yeah,
and that's what makes it so fun.
That's one of the reasons I'm like good not making NFL bets, because it's fun. Like, I know enough to know that I don't know.
Yeah,
you know, it's
you've got good willpower.
It's hard to figure out. You know, college basketball, especially November, December, way easier to bet. Like, it's not even close.
And I like college basketball.
It's fun. Do too.
Games are quick. You know if you're going to win or lose. It's not a painful drug.
That's effort. Not true at all. There's. College basketball games come down to the end just as much as NFL
They do,
games.
But at least they're an hour and 50 minutes. The NFL game, sometimes you invest
it's
the whole
like three,
Sunday.
It's like 3:05, yeah. 3 hours, 5 minutes.
And it's just painful. Now, I hate losing by a half a point. That drives me absolutely crazy.
Yeah. That's why you got to shop around for the better number.
Backdoor garbage covers are driving me crazy. But LasVegasSun.com, sports talk right here on 91.5 KUNV. I'm Ray Brewer, sports editor, Las Vegas Sun, alongside Taylor Byrne, our UNLV beat writer. We're taping the show Monday. It goes live Tuesday. Taylor is on the way to the airport to cover the Rebels at UTEP. We usually break down the game, but since we have no idea what's going to happen, we think UNLV could win, but we also think they can implode because they're
Road,
still questionable.
Ken Burch's debut. There is a game. You know, you're hearing this on Tuesday. There is a game tomorrow we could talk about.
Yes. UNLV Northern Iowa.
Yeah.
Taylor Byrne's whole family works at Northern Iowa.
My mom does.
Your mom works at Northern Iowa.
My brother went there, and he ran track and cross country there. We've been to, you know, I think I went to my first, like, UNI football game when I was, like, 3 weeks old or something like that. Like,
and you have a UNI headgear.
I do. It's cold outside. I need a stocking cap.
And an interesting fact, since we're talking about UNLV, did you know, and I'm sure you do because you cover the team, that Northern Iowa is going to be in Vegas before UNLV for this game?
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Not especially.
For me it is.
It's just the way that the schedule works out.
Yeah.
I wrote this in one of my pieces last week. I really like this type of schedule in December for UNLV. It's one of the things at Kansas, they often had Saturday, Monday games, and I think anytime you have two games in 3 days, it's great preparation for the tournament. And if you can throw in the extra wrench of having to travel with that too, especially if the second game is at home, because I think that makes it at least a little bit easier. I think that's great for a team to have to work through to get better at that type of thing. Like I think it's really well done.
And I agree with you, especially
of
now.
Of course, it can also blow up in your face.
It can. Now, UNLV is out for the semester, so you won't have to worry about finals. It'll be all basketball for a month. Ken Burch is back. Mike Mosier obviously still out with the elbow. Interested to see how the rotation's going to go with the fours and the fives. I would assume that Carlos isn't going to get as much run as he previously did.
Dave said he expected for this UTEP game that Quintrell and Kem would basically split the 40 minutes at the five. And, you know, Carlos could be thrown into that every once in a while. But it's, you know, Quintrell has basically played himself into that that role, and he'll actually he started against UTEP. I can now use the past.
Yes,
I'm predicting the future.
Yeah, but we anticipate he's scheduled to start.
Yeah, he's scheduled to start. Kem will come off the bench, get about 15 to 20 minutes. That's the plan anyway.
And here's what I like about Quantrell is that he's playing. And I know, thank God, Case Kiefer's not with us today, because whenever I use this term, he yells at me. But he's kind of playing like a senior shit. You know, his body is more redefined this year. He's lost a little weight. He's quicker. He's a beast on the boards. Mm-hmm. He's great defensively. And he's not hurting you offensively.
He's good defensively. I wouldn't call him great by any means.
Well, to me, he looked great.
Yeah.
Now, granted, you've seen a lot more of it than I have. But, of course, you had the game winner against Cal where he basically outworked two guys to get the ball, didn't give up on the play, didn't give up on the team, won the game. And now it's like, you know, I think you have to get him out there at certain spots because, you know, he's not going to get pushed around. He plays aggressive. In fact, a lot of these guys play with that chip on their shoulder. Like, I wouldn't want to play a pickup game with Bryce at all.
Oh, God, no.
I'd be afraid to, like, foul him. Because yeah. Sorry, Mr. John Jones, that was an accident. That was the thing, watching
after practice, a lot of times last year, I know I've said this before, but him and Oscar Belfield would play one-on-one. I don't think they ever finished a game. Like, after every single bucket, it was just a 10-minute argument. Like, it did not look fun at all. And, you know, he's still got that same thing. Like, him and – I bet you could charge admission for a one-on-one between him and Roscoe Smith. You'd be paying to see a fight.
I watched Roscoe Smith play what's that game, Make It, Take It?
That's just one-on-one.
One-on-one. Okay, I watched him play one-on-one with, like, one of the managers before the Laverne game.
Mm-hmm.
This poor manager.
Well, what do you expect?
I know. I mean, at least get a national champion.
He was probably playing Vic.
No, it wasn't Vic.
Wasn't Vic?
I know Vic, obviously. He was a small little kid.
I wonder, was he wearing glasses?
I don't think so. Anyways, he pushed this guy around pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to Roscoe Smith. I really am. Listen.
No, I want to go back to what you said about Quantrell, because I feel like next week, it won't even take till next week, I feel like you're going to completely change your tune, and you're not even going to think about Quantrell after you see Kem play. That is my prediction.
Here's my
because you're talking about his grittiness and his senior leadership and pushing people around, and then you're going to see Kem Birch come in there and just be a super athletic freak, and you're just going to be like, what do we need this guy for?
And Kem Birch, of course, McDonald's All-American, Anthony Bennett, McDonald's All-American. It's an elite level of talent. And I've, in my defense, I've seen Kem like two or three times in practice, and you never know what you get in practice because you're working on a certain
Whatever. You can tell, and it helps because you know UNLV's talent level. You know, I've seen them play other teams and have a general feel for them, and so I see how they play against him. And, you know, and that tells you something. But you're right. There's a difference between what you can do in practice and just game shape. Like, you know, Kem's in shape, but he's still going to get tired. You know, playing in a game, it's a different level.
A red shirt, you miss the year. You've got to get into that game.
Yeah, he played – his last game was December 10th of last year, and that was against Oklahoma State. And he had – I was looking at this. He averaged about two blocks in his time at Pitt. He had one game with six.
Which helps the average.
Yeah. Even when he doesn't block shots, he's going to alter them. Which is, you know, just as good, and in fact can be better, because if that results in missed shots, those are a lot of times easier to rebound than a block that may go out of bounds and you don't get possession. You know, things like that.
LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk every Tuesday morning right here on 91.5 KUNV. I'm Ray Brewer alongside Taylor Byrne. We're talking UNLV basketball. They play Wednesday at the MAC after the rodeo against Northern Iowa. And, Taylor, for me, when I look at this team, the talent level is just off the charts. From when Rice came in to where it's at now, if you look at, say, the starting lineup, arguably, well, Quantrell's probably going to start Wednesday. But say maybe down the road, some of the guys you could have, say, the start of league play. You got Bennett, and you've got Reinhardt, two top 30 recruits, right?
Mm-hmm. You've got top 40, top 50. Okay. I don't remember exactly what Caden was.
Okay. You've got Bryce, who was arguably the top player in Southern California, or one of the top five coming out of high school.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Ken Burch and McDonald's All-American. And then you got Anthony Marshall, you're the mayor of sorts. And
that nickname is...
It's just, you've got great players. I mean, these are legit great players who at any time could take the game over. Now, they all have their flaws, even though we haven't seen many in Anthony Bennett yet.
Yeah.
But...
like, they'll be there. I think once... He's definitely going to hit like a, you know, a little slump. Most freshmen do. And what I think once there's enough tape on him, you know, that's something. He's going to have to continue to work against double teams and things like that until, you know, the other guys on UNLV figure out how to dominate that. Like, that's something where Kem could really step in. And if he can be that other post guy that just, you know, it forces a man to be on him where you can't, you know, pay as much attention to Bennett, that could be huge.
Yeah, and I'm right now what I'm looking for, you know, Wednesday against Northern Iowa is, you know, we close kind of the non-league play. Of course, you got Carolina next Saturday. But how do these guys start meshing together? Because you're bringing guys in. You got a guy, you know, you've got two high school guys. You got a guy coming in from Pitt. You've got guys that were already here. And they've got to get some kind of chemistry together. Because I don't care how much
time. Was that pun on purpose?
What?
Chemistry.
No, that was just me. That was smart, though.
But yeah, and your point
is. Starting
lineup.
The Giants weren't the best baseball team last year. They won the World Series. Why? Because they liked each other.
No, it's because they're good at baseball.
Well, they were good at baseball and they had good pitching, but were they, on paper, were they the best team?
Doesn't matter. But once you get to the playoffs, it's a small enough sample size that best team doesn't really matter. Okay. Don't tell me they won because they liked each other.
That's, okay, they hated each other.
No,
they won despite it.
Yeah,
they liked.
We won with the power of happiness. Come on now, they won because they're good.
How much is the power of happiness play into it, though?
Not to the level that's the deciding factor.
See, I'm more of a power of happiness guy. I don't know. You know, I don't. Maybe because I'm a champion. I don't know.
Because you're a champion. Oh, you don't need. Where's
all
the
93?
Where's the Shap soccer ring? Yeah, that's. I want to. I don't know if I ever pointed this out on the radio. So when all of the high school football players came in for our all Sun team,
basketball
but I was here for football. You wore the ring, and so that you could impress everybody.
Yep.
But they thought. I know that it was a football ring. If you had told them it was a soccer state ring, your credibility would have just fallen like the stock market.
It's a great starter when you have that on. Okay, one time we do the Prep Sports Now podcast on LasVegasSun.com.
Very popular podcast.
Very popular. And one day I was talking about my soccer days at Chaparral, and there was like 10 comments. I can't believe Brewer played soccer. We thought he played football. Ah. Like I was cheating on everybody.
Yeah, exactly. Like when I remember when I found out, I was like, wait, I thought this entire time you were talking about a football state title.
No, when you see Ray Brewer, you see 6'1", 235, you're thinking offensive line, slow on his feet. But in high school, I was like 5'11", 140, 150.
Yeah, sounds like a safety.
Yeah, so I put on the freshman 15 times 2. When I was at UNLV, and you know, when you get to college, you just eat bad.
Oh yeah, I put on like 20 pounds my freshman year, something like that. That's what happens when you have a cafeteria in your dorm. So like when it's, you know, cold Kansas winters, you don't have to walk outside. It's just right downstairs.
Have you seen our LasVegasSun.com commercial yet?
I have not. I heard I look angry.
Well, two things. You're about what, 6'7"?
6'8".
6'8", and I'm 6'1". So. There's a size discrepancy. In that commercial, you look 7'4", and I look 5'4". And, like, my mom's like, was he standing on something? That Taylor, is he that tall? I'm like, yeah, Mom, he's about 6'8". Yeah. So, anyways.
Did you have another thing about it? Or?
No, that was it.
Okay.
It was quick. It was like, hi, I'm Ray. Hi, I'm Taylor. But
well, I do talk like that.
Yeah, but nonetheless, it was. You looked like you could dunk on me.
I probably could. I mean, if you were like standing mm-hmm. still, not trying to defend me.
Yeah. Did you dunk in like pickup games?
Not in a game, though.
Like, but can you?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Like my dunking is in the least impressive thing you've ever seen. Like it's kind of like, you know, the comparison on the UNLV team is probably Carlos. Like when he gets a full head of steam, he looks pretty good dunking, but when he's just taken off from right around the rim, generally doesn't look good. I don't look good.
Are you the Carlos Lopez of the rec basketball team?
Probably. I'm not going to see many minutes.
Are you good?
Actually, that's not true.
Are you a good passer?
Yeah, out of the post, I try to be.
Is Carlos a good passer out of the post?
Yeah, he's taken a lot more shots lately.
Yeah, he has. Nonetheless, Las Vegas.
we don't need him.
We trigress. At one point, I was going to ask you to break down the NFC East. Now, all of a sudden, we're talking what we know best, UNLV basketball. It's what folks kind of expect.
I can't break down the NFL East. I don't even want to think about the NFL. Bears aren't going to make the playoffs now. They're just tanking. It's a disaster.
I had that game over 42.5. It was looking pretty.
What was the final?
21-13.
Yeah.
Inability. Nothing frustrates me more than when you can't pick up a yard in the NFL when you need it.
You're talking about that where they ran Forte three times in a row just into the line?
Yeah. God. Like, could you figure some other – Mike? And then they pan over to Mike Tice, who – every you know, Mike Tice is Mike Tice. Pencil in his ear.
Yep.
Former Vikings head coach, when his favorite play with the Vikings was between the tackles. You know, gosh forbid we try outside a little bit. You get these guys that run real fast because they could go outside. That's the whole point.
Well, but part of that was on Forte, too, because I think it was the second down run. He was just dancing all over the place. And he had a chance to pop it outside and probably just try and take a guy one-on-one, but instead he just straight into the line. It was, and I nearly, like, looks like I'm going to win a fantasy matchup in a league I'm in with my brother and my dad, which is, I think, my second highest money league. So this is important to me anyway, since I lost $100 on your league.
As did I.
Yeah. But, like, I had Forte, too. So not only as a Bears fan was I frustrated, I was like, this could freaking cost me the win.
Speaking of fantasy, I was in the semifinals of the $20 league we're in,
mm-hmm.
where I outscored everybody by about 200 points and undefeated.
Are you going to lose?
I lost, yeah.
Oh, man. You were killing everybody.
I had Eli Manning and Doug Martin. They combined for 8 points.
Yeah, my dad had Doug Martin. He was nice.
And then the guy I played against, everybody he had just went crazy. So I'm behind by 21 points going into tonight, and I've got Kendall Wright of the Titans. Of course, this is Tuesday, but we tape on Monday.
So. Yeah, we'll just chalk it up as a loss for you.
Yeah, so there goes that season.
Yeah, and I could still technically lose if Chris Johnson, like, scores 45, which, I mean, I guess is plausible.
Oh, I'm just hoping Kendall Wright gets 2 80-yard touchdowns. That would do it for me.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, since he's got zero this year of the 80-yard variety. But LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk, I believe our last show of 2012.
Yeah, I think so.
It's so hard to say goodbye. This is your second New Year's in Las Vegas.
Well, living here. My last New Year's was spent in Hawaii.
Okay. Are you actually going to be here for New Year's Eve?
I think so, yeah.
Are you going to go on the strip then?
I don't know.
You have to do it once.
I have to figure that out. Yeah,
you're still kind of young.
Yeah, because I've heard New Year's in Vegas is something else. So, and I'll be back. I mean, because that North Carolina game is the 29th, so I'll be back on the 30th. So I think I will go to the strip.
It is. The drink prices are a little spiked. So when you get your Coca-Cola Classic.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and just drink water that night. I'll be good.
Yeah.
I don't need to pay $10 for a beer.
But I have been on the strip a few times. I remember the first time I went out there, senior year. And
high school or college?
High school, yeah. A lady friend and myself, we went out there together, and our parents both said, stay away from the strip. And we were like, well,
so,
okay.
Of course, you went directly
there.
But
we didn't go, like, to the heart of the strip. We went, like, right by Treasure Island, which back then was kind of, like, the end of the cool part.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we get, like, beer poured on us, and we're on one of the local newscasts. And that my mother was watching. So there goes that. But it was a good time. So I do remember that was my first time there.
That was your first time on the Strip or first time
For New Year's? Yeah, okay. For New Year's. But, you know, my father worked on the Strip, and he'd worked there since the 60s, so he kind of knew what happened before they revolutionized things a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a kid, it was basically, we lived on East Flamingo, and there was no going past Maryland, which is where UNLV is. So I never went on the Strip until maybe my junior or senior year of high school. You know, and then it was like, okay, homecoming, we went to a show on the Strip or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's different when you grow up here.
Yeah, I'll probably be on the Strip for a week's time, probably the most since I've lived here, since, like, family's in town. Yeah. Like, basically the only times I go to the Strip are when people are in town.
You're a local now. That's how it is.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's frustrating when you get friends come in on, like, back-to-back weekends. It's like, oh, let's go play blackjack. Yeah. You're like, really?
It's like, it's cutting into my savings.
Are you going to wear your Northern Iowa hat on this trip?
Which day?
New Year's Eve.
If it's after, if it's cold.
Okay. You wouldn't go get something a little more stylish? Not that that's not stylish.
No. Okay. I don't really concern myself with such things as style. I'll let someone else tell me.
Okay. All right. LasVegasSun.com sports doc coming down the home stretch on today's show. And our shows for the year, we're here every Tuesday, 7 a.m. It's part of the Waking Up with the Sun package. Our news gatherers at Las Vegas Sun, politics, business, arts and entertainment, everything we do, every morning, 7 a.m. during the week.
I can't believe it's already Christmas next week.
Yeah.
I haven't done any shopping.
Neither have I. I asked my wife this weekend to put our gifts under the tree.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, we only got two. And I'm like, okay, that's a problem. I better hit the stores and see what we could get. But
it's more important for you since you have a kid. Like, you gotta keep up the Christmas mystique.
Mm-hmm. I do. Here's the deal. This is his third Christmas. The first one, he was 2 months. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of a mulligan. Last year, I went crazy. I probably got him like 9 or 10 things. And I don't want to set the bar that high for when he's older and understands.
Yeah.
So I still want to, you know, give him the meaning of Christmas.
I don't know what's the right number for gifts. Like, I bought my niece 3 things.
We'll see. And what's her father going to buy, or your brother?
Probably a lot of stuff. She's going to get tons of stuff because, like, my mom has
just... That's your mom's only grandchild?
Yeah. She's just got, like, stockpiles of stuff. Like, I think she's already got stuff for her 4th birthday and stuff. She's only 2.
Yeah.
Like, she buys everything that she sees.
Yeah, and see, my mom's the same way. I don't want to go crazy and then now all of a sudden say 1 year, you know, times are tough, who knows what happens, and I come through with, like, a package of tube socks and a Hot Wheel.
Hey, I'll take some new tube socks.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, I thought, you know, Christmas was about getting a new Nintendo or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
But folks, it's been a great 2012. We love giving you UNLV coverage. It's going to be an awesome ending to the year for the Rebels. A winnable game at Carolina, depending on who you talk to.
It's winnable.
For Taylor.
Doesn't mean they're going to. But.
For Taylor, who's here. For Case, who's not. I'm Ray Brewer. Have a safe New Year's Eve, a happy Christmas, and happy holidays.